Now you come across somebody once in a while you shouldn't have messed with. That's me. Well,
I won't back down. I am not an African American.
You're Oreo cookie. White in the inside and black on the outside.
I don't have an Afro. I have an Amerifro.
Talking that idiotic stuff you talk about, I would slap you.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Black at the Ace of Spades, but 100% American.
Heard around the world by everybody and their mama. The Jesse Lee Peterson Radio Show.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We also,
turning down my headset,
rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. Good morning. Welcome back.
I'm trying to
get my headsets adjusted here. I think I got it now. Good morning. Welcome back from Thanksgiving week. It seemed like a week, even longer. It seemed as though we've been gone for a long, long time. We are back. Welcome back. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving. And that all went well for you and your family. I hope your travels were safe and sound, and you didn't get stuck at the airport somewhere. And I'm feeling like we need another day off to recuperate from the long, long holiday. One more day just to rest up. It should be like a rest day. A required rest day today before you go back to work. Don't you think? Good morning, Andre. Hi. Welcome back. How was your holiday and all that kind of good stuff?
Good.
It was good? It was long, huh? We've been gone a long time. Did you go anywhere or do anything? No, nothing. You didn't go anywhere, you didn't do anything. You and your wife just sat in the house looking at each other. Oh, he's like, yeah. What a nice life. So I know you're ready to work now then, huh? Good, man. Oh, that rest. Let's see, what did I do? On Thanksgiving Day, I had Thanksgiving with a member of Bond and his family. He invited several people over, so I didn't go with my family on Thanksgiving. And the next day, well, Sunday, yesterday, I visit my family. We had Thanksgiving somewhat. In all honesty, I didn't want to do anything. I wanted to just stay home and relax and read and quiet time to myself for the whole time, but wasn't able to do that, of course. But wanted to. But I had a very, very mucho, very good holiday, Thanksgiving Day, 4 days off, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. 4 days off, right? 4 days off. It was more than a notion. It was very, very good. So it was safe. I didn't do a lot of running around. I really just wanted time to myself. And thank God he allowed that to happen. So it was good. I did a little reading. I like reading books about people's lives, people who have gone through and are going through tough times, but dealing with them in the right way and carrying out the will of God. I really like those kind of books. Gandhi, Booker T. Washington, and others. I have like a whole stack of books that I'm trying to get to. So I did some of that over the holiday weekend. There is nothing like, now it's good to be with family. So I am a family man. I really believe strongly that the family, when done in the proper way, is an expression of God. of the kingdom of heaven. And so I'm for family, you know, husbands, wife, fathers, mothers, children, just getting together, really enjoying each other, but being honest and dealing with life. So I'm for family. But for me, there is nothing like that quiet, alone time. You really get a chance to really see who you are, where you are in life. It's really, really, really amazing what you can discover about yourself. And a lot of people are not able to, be alone and totally appreciate being alone, because, you know, your ego really kicks in when you're by yourself. You can see where you really are in life. And so, and the more quiet alone time I can get, the more I appreciate it, because I discover things about myself, and I like that. So it was like that. It was good. It was good. It seemed like I've been gone away from the radio show a long time. And it's good to be back today. It really is. I really appreciate and love what I do. What I do in life is what I was created to do. And so I love my work. All right? I do love my work. Interesting thing that crossed my mind. One is, I saw this thing called, did you see this, Andre? The thing called Black Friday. It's amazing how, I was thinking about this. What happens is, apparently some of the stores have a mark down on their products. On, I guess, is it Thanksgiving Day, Andre, or the day after Thanksgiving? After Thanksgiving? Okay, after Thanksgiving. And so everything, or a lot of stores have half prices off and all that kind of stuff. And you have people year in and year out lining up. Some people even sleep for days, a couple of days or so, on the sidewalk or in front of the store there, waiting for what they call Black Friday to get these products that's been, you know, are now at half prices, some even less than that. And so all these people lined up at different stores around the country, and just about hundreds, you know, just hundreds of people lined up. And the store opens up, and they all just barge in at one time, fighting and falling over each other and pulling and snatching products and just carrying out. I mean, just, and I'm thinking, wow, it's amazing. And they want TVs, they want cameras, and they want computers, and they want cell phones, and they're trying to get all these things at a discount price, which is fine. But the way they go about it is insane. It's absolutely insanity. Total insane. Just insanity at its worst. It's like, in my mind now, it's like people who are untrained.
These people, oh, this is what I thought about. These people are literally being controlled by the media and things and stores. These things are so important to them that they would kill one another trying to get to a cell phone or a TV. One man, and I believe it was in Georgia, was reportedly left his child in the car while he went into the store to get something for half price. And while in the store, someone reported that they saw a child in a car, and the police came and took the child away, right? And they eventually found out where the father lived, but the man came out of the store, noticed that his little son was gone or missing from the car. He called up a buddy to come pick him up. His friend picked him up, according to the report, and took him home. And so he was just home because he knew he wanted his big screen TV. And he didn't seem to be worried about his son. And I'm thinking, wow, how controlled these people are by material things. I mean, they literally fight. All kinds of things are happening, and they don't see how they have put material things before what is right, before salvation itself. It's amazing how we can be controlled and not realize what's going on because we are asleep. We're not consciously awake. So I thought that was interesting, and it happens every year. It's not like people are learning from it, you know. And it is happening every year, and they take pride in it. They can't walk into the store, look around, shop around. They run in and just grab things. And so I'm watching this on the news over the weekend. I'm like, this is amazing to me. 888-77-5373. Welcome to the show. Welcome back to work. Welcome back home.
If you're looking for the perfect shot the first time, call D.L. Massey Photography. Passion coupled with an attitude toward perfection will ensure that your special event lasts forever. D.L. Massey Photography's clients are always satisfied and bring their most trusted projects time and again. Go to www.dlmasseyphotography.com or call 310-498-7416 to find out how D.L. Massey Photography can make your next event a memorable one.
Are you in need of a powerful speaker for an upcoming event or meeting? Reverend Jesse Lee Peterson stands apart from the rest. His wisdom and aura truly capture the audience's attention and their hearts. Covering a wide variety of topics, ranging from political to spiritual issues, Jesse Peterson is able to speak at any type of event. Call his speaking event coordinator, Sherry Johnson, at 1-800-411-BOND. That's 1-800-411-2663.
Okay, welcome back. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Thank you for being with me. Take your calls at 888-775-3773. In the second hour, it's Preachers in the Pulpit. We're going to be talking to a pastor from Lafayette, Louisiana, in the second hour. In the third hour, we're having a panel discussion on the Obamacare issue or situation. Lots of folks are concerned about that. So we're going to be talking to two experts in that area on the Obama socialized health care plan. And the Republicans are still talking about overturning it. No one knows if it's going to happen or not, but we'll see. I don't have faith in the Republican Party. Well, not in the establishment of the party, but we'll see what happens. Black Friday. One other thing about Black Friday, I thought it was interesting how the people are being manipulated and controlled. And the same thing happens every year. And the folks never catch on to what is really going on, how they're being manipulated. There's another, a Cyber Monday today. And this is where they encourage you to buy things online with big discounts, and they are expected to make buku money online today. This is from CBS Sacramento. Fist flew during a Black Friday fight at Roseville Galleria as three men threw blows. They knocking down a display. The men were allegedly fighting over a pair of shoes in the middle of the mall as family watched in horror. Isn't that amazing? How do you, I wonder, were they homeless people or something? And they just happened to get their hands on some shoes. But this is the type of stuff that is happening today. And we got to start pointing it out, folks, in hopes that we can wake up the so we can wake people up. I'm reading something here. My mind went away. This is from Newsbusters. Oscar winner actor Jamie Foxx called the fallen Messiah Barack Obama our Lord and Savior. How you like that, Andre? I guess the fallen Messiah has risen again. He has risen from the dead, and he's alive. Is that something? Disgusting, Andre says. He called Obama the fallen Messiah, our Lord and Savior. This occurred at the previously recorded Soul Train Award, broadcast on BET, Black Entertainment TV, on Sunday. This clip was used as a preview for the presentation by BET. So BET is promoting the upcoming Soul Train Award. This man, a person, is a part of it. And he called Barack Obama our Lord and Savior. And I know, and we're going to get that soundbite for you a little later here. We'll have it for you. But I know to white people, you can't understand this. But it's true. Most black people really believe that Barack Obama is their Savior. And I know, Andre, you don't understand it, but it is the mentality of black people. And I don't want to get too serious with you this morning. It's with our first day back from a nice, relaxing, fun family time. But you need to understand the mentality of most black people. They are not looking for God within and above. They're looking for the God of another black physical savior. They have not recognized that Jesus has already reestablished everything, put everything back in order, and all they need to do is receive God and all is well. They really are, due to their anger and their lack of morality. And again, I don't want to get too hard on you this morning, but they are looking for a physical black savior, folks. And Barack Obama is their Messiah. And now they're hoping in this 4 years, the next 4 years coming up, that this guy and Big Mama Michelle, another godless, angry black female, they're hoping that they will take everything that the white man has built and owned and give it to them. You got my word that the next 4 years will become an all-out war on white Americans, and especially white men. So get ready for it. You voted this guy back in, as Jamie Foxx called him, according to Newsbusters. Our Lord and Savior is back, and may God have mercy upon America. Here's the soundbite from Jamie Foxx.
First of all, give an honor to God and our Lord and Savior, Barack Obama. Barack Obama. Y'all stand up right now. You got to.
All I can do is shake my head at this point about that. But that's the reality, the mentality of most black Americans. Their Lord and Savior. They've been waiting since Martin Luther King Jr., since the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr., they have been waiting for another physical savior. And the savior must be someone who hates whites, who believes in the redistribution of wealth, who is willing to destroy America in order to destroy the white man. It has to be that type of savior. And that's what Jamie Foxx is. That's who Jamie Foxx is giving glory to. And when you talk to black Americans in this country, they have the same feeling, the same joy, that the savior, their Lord and Savior, is back. So get ready for it. I guess you can relax until after Christmas. because I don't think now, knowing how wicked these people are, the Father Messiah and Big Mama, it could happen before that, but I don't think all hell is going to break loose until after January or when we come back from the New Year's celebration. So maybe you could just draw close to God and relax so you can be ready for next year and the years afterward. I don't know what's in store, but get ready. It's going to be a bumpy ride. I'll take your calls when I come back. 888-775-3773. 888-77-JESSE.
Traveled every road in this here land.
For the past 20 years, Reverend Jesse Lee Peterson has been all over the country on a dedicated mission to unite the races and bring conservative values back to America. His experience and ability to captivate an audience make him a highly sought-after speaker from Los Angeles to New York and everywhere in between. Jesse Lee Peterson has given speeches at Tea Party rallies, universities, conservative clubs, churches, pro-life events, men's groups, annual conventions, and more. But with so many different events all over the country, Jesse's schedule fills up quickly. So the time to book Reverend Peterson for your event is now. Call speaking coordinator Sherry Johnson and insist Jesse Lee Peterson speak in your city today. Call 1-877-WEAC-77. That's 1-877-932-2877. And ask where Jesse is speaking next. It may be near you because Jesse Lee Peterson goes everywhere. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere.
Okay, welcome back. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Taking your calls at 888-775-3773, 888-77-JESSE. Let's go down to 1010 down in Atlanta, Georgia, and talk to, let's go to Mel first here. Mel, good morning. Happy belated Thanksgiving, Mel.
Peterson.
Mel, did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Peterson.
Yeah.
Let me get to my comment. You know, I'm not going to go through the propaganda what you kind of do. Don't kind of kind of kind to me. I don't ever want you to be kind to me.
You hate kindness?
But you know what?
Do you hate kindness?
Coming from you, I do.
Oh, and why
anything
is that?
You try to be kind is coming from me. You're a disrespectful man.
What I do now?
You would disrespect our president.
Oh, man.
You disrespect our first lady. You just disrespect. And something got to be done on you, man.
Man, what am I doing?
If I live in California, I would pick your station every day until you off the air.
Don't I have a right to express my opinion?
Yes, in this country. But you know what? If you was over in one of the other countries,
right,
you'd been shot by now.
That's why I'm in America.
That's why you're in this country.
And that's why I'm fighting for a traditional American. America.
Okay.
But let me ask you, Mel, what have I done to disrespect the Father Messiah and Big Mama?
You know what? You just said something about Martin Luther King.
What did I say?
I'm talking about the state I live in, one of the greatest American Negro, because I'm not going to even call him black. You had a nerve to say that's one of the reasons why he was murdered.
What did I say?
You're glad that Martin Luther King was assassinated, man.
No, I never said that. I said, Mel, hold on.
That's the way you sound.
Hold on. I said that the black folks have been waiting for a physical messiah.
Man, don't you know that's disrespectful?
Hold on, Mel. They have been waiting for a fallen Messiah since the assassination of Martin Luther King, And now they got, as Jamie Foxx said, their Lord and Savior is back, and that is by way of the fallen Messiah, Barack Obama.
Don't you? Well, Jamie Foxx has the right to say anything he want to say.
Yes,
that's disrespectful,
so,
man.
Jamie,
the way you sound, that you was glad that Martin Luther King was assassinated.
That's not
man.
What I said
you
at all.
Obama was assassinated too, Mel, don't
Mel,
you?
Get
that's
your.
What you feel about the president? You want somebody to assassinate him, don't you?
No, those are your words.
But no, no, I'm just asking you, do you?
But let me
see,
ask you this.
You don't want to say yes or no.
Calm down. I almost said woman. Calm down, Mel. Mel.
Wait, but see, you see, that's another disrespectful thing.
To tell you to
call me out of, you know, call me something, what I'm not.
What did I call you?
You're disrespectful.
What did I call you?
You know what I mean? You are disrespectful. Call yourself a preacher.
But, Mel, let me ask.
You call yourself a preacher, man.
Welcome back.
It's funny to you.
It is.
But you, that's funny to you. You got the nerve of saying that you want our president assassinated.
I did not say that. You're lying.
Because
why are you lying?
We're waiting for another Martin Luther King.
Why are you lying?
Like I told you before, your day is coming.
My day is here
your
and now.
Your day is coming.
But, Mel, let me ask. You said Jamie Foxx has a right.
I didn't say yourself, you disrespectful Negro.
There you go. He's gone. I did never say that I would anyone assassinate you, dummy. I said that your people have been waiting for a Messiah since the assassination of Martin Luther King. They have not been able to move forward because they have not had a physical Messiah to come and take more stuff from the white folks. And Barack Obama, in their mind, is that person, Mel. So get it straight. Hey, good morning, Mel. Happy Turkey. He doesn't want me to be kind to him. You know what I mean? Can you hate someone so much that you wouldn't want them to even be kind to you? What love got to do with it? Let me go to Maryland and talk to Gloria. Glory, good morning, and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Reverend Peterson.
How are you?
I'm well. On yourself?
All is well. Thanks for asking.
Super fantastic. Listen, I just wanted to make a quick comment. I was on the YouTube over the weekend looking at videos.
Hold
you know,
that thought for me, Gloria. Let me take a quick break here. I'll come back, and we'll get to everybody at 888-77-JESSE. Good morning, sir. Thanks for calling. Thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Good morning, Jesse.
How are
you? I'm a big fan. I just got your book. Thank you very much. It was eye-opening. I love it very much. I recommend it for everybody. Scam. Everybody get this book. It will wake you up. That's for sure. I don't know anybody as much courage as you, too. It's amazing. I tell you, people, please buy this book.
Mark is talking about my book, Scam, How the Black Leadership Exploits Black America. It is a must read. Everybody and their mama should read that book. Nothing but the truth in there. I expose the so-called civil rights leaders, Jesse Jackson, Maxine Waters, Louis Farrakhan, Al Sharpton. If you would like to get an autographed copy of my book, Scam, go to my website and order at bondinfo.org, bondinfo.org, or call 1-800-411-2663, 1-800-411-BOND. I saw a very interesting interview last night with somebody. What's the name of that young kid, that little white boy? He's real popular. He's a singer. Justin Bieber. And I'm going to talk to you about what I realized from that. Hopefully we can get to it today. If not, we'll talk about it. But one point, this guy is making he made $100 billion in 2 years. $100 billion in 2 years. And when asked if he was happy, is he ever lonely or does he ever get depressed? He said, yes. He said, sometimes he gets so depressed he doesn't know what to do with himself. And sometimes he can't sleep because he has all these thoughts going on in his head. When he goes to bed at night, he can't sleep. I'm like, wow, that's very, very interesting. Let's go back to Gloria down in Maryland. Gloria, did you have a good Thanksgiving?
I really did. I was so happy to have people to, good people to share with. I cooked, and it was really nice.
Right on. Good. Mm-hmm. Okay, go with your point you were trying to make.
Sure, I'll be really quick. But I was on YouTube on the weekend. I was looking at different pastors and listening to different preachings and things like that. And I found out that a pastor by the name of Zachary Timms passed away a year ago. He passed away at the age of 42. He had a mega church down in Florida. Make a long story short, the fellow had been cheating on his wife. He had multiple affairs with strippers, and he evidently had started taking drugs again. He was delivered from drugs. That was his testimony.
Right.
And he passed away in a hotel room, and they found drugs and everything on him, and did the autopsy and found out he did die from a drug overdose. My point in this is how his congregation reacted to all of this during the course of him having affairs and getting divorced and everything. They supported him. They refused to let him step down. They told him, this is all on YouTube and videos, that we don't care what you've done, we still want you to be the pastor. And when you were talking about Jamie Foxx today, it took my mind back to that. Just another example to say that how people who are called, who claim to be Christians, are not worshiping God at all.
Yep. That's right. And why do you think that is? Because, you know, I understand it a lot better now, because when I was that kind of Christian, I was just doing what I wanted to do and supported evil people because of their color and everything like that. Why do you think Jamie Foxx and others are doing this while calling themselves Christian? Because you heard him in that soundbite. He said something about praise the Lord for the award, I guess. And then he said, our Lord and Savior, Barack Obama. Why do you think these Christians are doing this?
Well, you and I had we had a couple of debates about this subject before. But I'm on the position that because blacks don't know biblical history, you always claim that knowing history is not important, but it is. Because blacks don't know biblical history, they're repeating everything that our ancestors in Africa did before, our ancestors that were living before Jesus came upon the earth, all this idolatry. And really, it's nothing but devil worship. You know,
and the
fornication, everything. These are the same things that got us into slavery. They got us separated from God. They're still doing it over and over and over and over again because they don't know
any better.
They think this is right.
You know, I think history has its place, but my point is that history will not bring salvation. You know, I had that type of mentality. That Jamie Foxx and others, I never thought of a physical person being our Lord and Savior, so I wasn't that crazy.
They've taken it to the third power. Wow. To say that, that's blasphemous.
I'm telling you. But I did follow these people, and I was still just doing all, you know, the wrong kinds of things. But what happened was, even though I had gone down to the front of the church and repeated what the preacher said. Do you believe Jesus your Lord? Yes. Do you believe he died and rose again? Yes. And so, okay, if you believe these things, then you are saved. I said, okay. You know, and signed my name as a member, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know. And so as a result of doing that, nothing changed in my life. You know, I was just a born-again sinner.
Right. You were a sinner who attended church.
That's right.
And then wasting your time.
I'm telling you. But then 25 years ago, I'm sitting in my, you know, in my prayer closet. And this time I'm just quietly sitting there wanting to know and understand and to understand what was wrong with me and how to overcome it. And that's when God caused me to see myself, and seeing myself caused me to repent. there was a great sadness that came upon me, mm-hmm. and it wasn't the kind of sadness you get from emotions.
Mm-hmm.
It was a sadness from within that you get from being wrong.
Exactly. I had the same experience, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then after that, peace came, and it caused me to see in a different way. And so I realized from that, true salvation is a spiritual experience
mm-hmm.
that is not caused by a physical thing, but by God himself.
You're 100% correct. But why I am a strong proponent of people knowing their history is because history causes you to face yourself and to see yourself in hopes that salvation will come.
Well, good. Yeah, I know that it has its place, but
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And right now, a lot of black people have been taught history in the wrong manner.
True,
and
true.
The only thing that it created was more anger toward America and white people.
Because they've been taught black history. I'm a
yes.
proponent of biblical history.
There you go. I absolutely agree. They have been taught black history, and it just put them deeper into hell.
Absolutely. But it's just, I'm just thoroughly convinced at this point in my life that there are only very few true believers in Jesus Christ on this earth. I don't care what anybody says. I'm convinced now. I'm convinced. And because of knowing this, I'm content to remain as I am, to
yes.
live my life peacefully, to spend most of my time alone doing the works of God, living the way that I live, and leave everybody else alone. I'm content.
That's deep. You know, I understand. I think there are a few, very, very few men and women who truly know God.
Yeah.
Glory, thank you. Very, very powerful points.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Back in a moment, folks. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. It's his house, just ain't no
home. Anytime she goes away. Hi, my name is Lucy Hylands. I'm a proud supporter of Bond. I just received this latest special report on the high-tech lynching of George Zimmerman. I have to thank Jesse Lee. I'm moved to tears. Actually, I am. I can't believe how right on he always is, and I'm so grateful to be a part of Bond. Thank him, please, from me for being truly a voice of reason. I don't know what it's coming to, but we need more Jessies. Thank you so much.
Isn't that nice? If I could get one person to wake up, point them toward the source who awakened them, I've done my job. If you're not getting those reports by mail, call 1-800-411-BOND, 1-800-411-2663, and ask to be added to the mailing list. You can also go on my website and sign up for it as well, bondinfo.org or bondaction.org. One thing I realized from that conversation with Gloria, which was excellent, by the way, we got to really focus on spiritual things within the next 4 years. We got to start dealing with that in hopes that we can wake up some of these people. I know that most people will not wake up. Most will not, because even God said most people are going to destroy themselves. They're going to take that wide road that leads to destruction. But there are a few that would hear the truth and their lives would change. They would accept it. So I am even more committed to doing all I can do as I can to put that truth out there. We got to help these folks. Because if I had not heard the truth from someone, I don't know if I would be. My life would have changed in the manner that it did. So we got to help them. Preachers in the Pulpit is coming up in the next hour. You don't want to miss out on that. 888-775-3773. Let's go down to Hampton, Virginia, and talk to Rick. Rick, thanks for calling, and thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Hey, good day there, Jesse. How you doing today, man? Everybody and their mom will listen to the Jesse Lee Peterson show today.
I receive that.
Man, I just want to comment on, you know, with the budget battle, a lot of people, I hear a lot of African-Americans, they just are opposing President Obama. I said, let me tell you something. What's going on here is the reason why the Republicans are giving, not really giving them a hard time, but what their opposition is that President Obama wants to keep entitlement programs going, raise taxes, and not control with spending. That's what you do in your own household. If your money gets tight in your household, first thing you're going to do is cut unnecessary spending.
Well, Barack Obama is hell-bent on this class warfare.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people thought that he was just doing this during the campaign in order to be reelected, you know. But it's not just for the campaign. He's going to continue this because his agenda is the redistribution. And if he can bring down the wise old white man of the Republican Party in order to do that, he's going to do it. So we are definitely headed, this country is definitely headed for some difficult times because this guy is committed to bankrupting America, turning it into a socialist society.
Well, I'll tell you what, and just an African-American community, just like you were saying, too. Go ahead,
real fast. I'm coming
to you. Yeah, 40% of African Americans are on some kind of government aid.
That's right.
That was the story man saying.
Thank you, Rick. I got to take a break. Thank you, buddy. Back in a moment, folks. I've come to understand anger over the last 22 years or so. Because I had to overcome it myself. But from counseling with people, it's just been amazing. The primary problem, a relationship or individual life, whether it's a marriage or a friendship, is anger. When you have anger, you cannot see how to deal with the situation because you're operating out of darkness. And that anger tends to cause you to make all the wrong decisions.
How would you like to find a way to overcome your most personal problems? If you're ready, we can help. Let the professional counseling services of Bond, the Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny, help you conquer your most serious problems right now. Call 1-800-411-2663 to make your appointment today.
Somebody once in a while you shouldn't have messed with. That's me. Well,
I am not an African American.
You're Oreo cookie. White in the inside and black on the outside.
I don't have an afro. I have an Amerifro.
Talking that idiotic stuff you talk about, I will slap you.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Black at the Ace of Spades, but 100% American.
Heard around the world by everybody and their mama. The Jesse Lee Peterson Radio Show.
Uniting the races with truth. Let me adjust.
See, Bill, I can't hear myself now.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. Listen to that. Listen to that. Listen to that so I feel better. Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. Are you able to adjust my headsets? I'm yelling at Bill about my headsets. Right at the first day back, the engineer is catching hell. Or are you catching heaven? Okay. Sorry about that, folks. Trying to get my headset
going here. This is awful.
It is awful. Welcome back from Thanksgiving. Hope you had a good one, a safe and good holiday week. It feels like we've been gone a long time. It's good to be back at work. Taking your phone calls at 888-7753-773. 888-77 J-E-S-S-E. It is Monday, second hour of the show. In the third hour, we have a Obamacare panel discussion. We have some experts coming in to talk about what's wrong with. There's a woman who agrees with Obamacare, one who does not. We got to have a panel discussion about that in the third hour. You do not want to miss it. But for now, it is Preachers in the Pulpit.
That was just a dream. That was just a dream. That's me in the corner. That's me in the spotlight.
For the last 22 years, I've been committed to rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. And I am more committed now than I was back then. And because I realized clearly that we have a serious, serious issue in America today. And I believe it's because we have fallen away from the family. We have fallen away from God. And unless we deal with those issues, we're headed for a destruction that I don't think most people are going to be able to handle. And so Preachers in the Pulpit is set up for that, you know, to talk about the churches, what went wrong, and if there's anything wrong with the church. And maybe I'm just misreading this. I have with me Pastor Steve Horn, pastor of First Baptist Lafayette in Lafayette, Louisiana. He has a B.A. in history from Rhodes College in Memphis, Tennessee, as well as a Ministry of Divinity, I believe, in Biblical Studies and a Ph.D. in Greek New Testament from the New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary. He is married and has two sons. With all those degrees, I'm sure we're going to get some answers today. Pastor Horn, good morning, sir. Welcome to the show.
Well, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Reading your bio, you sound like a smart man.
Maybe deceptively smart sometimes.
How was your Thanksgiving holiday?
It was wonderful. Thanksgiving actually is my favorite holiday, even more so. I know that probably sounds strange as a Christian pastor, but even more so than Easter and Christmas. That's certainly not to take away from those holidays, but for me, Thanksgiving is just great for my family. It's a slower pace, and because of that, I love it.
Oh, good. I want to talk to you about several things, and we got to take some calls for you as well. Am I wrong in believing that the churches are failing in America today?
I think you are correct in that. We have created, I think, some of our own problems, and yes, we are failing. I think the greatest evidence of that is that we're losing the cultural war.
Yeah.
And for the first time, perhaps, in maybe American history, we're playing from behind rather than playing ahead.
And give us proof that we are losing the culture war. Give us examples of that.
Well, I think on a national level, issues that are common knowledge of abortion and homosexuality. I mean, you know, I guess for the first time as a pastor, I'm facing the fact that many of the teenagers in my church go to school where homosexuality among teenagers is pretty open, and because it's open on their campus, they're beginning to doubt God's word about that, beginning to doubt what their family has taught them in regards to that, and they're open minded to it. Not open-minded to the individual, but open-minded to the fact that it's acceptable to God. I think that's a clear indication that we're losing this cultural war.
You know what made me really see that? What really caused me to see how serious it is when in this last presidential campaign, when Barack Obama and the Democratic Party were able to organize the young people in the manner that they did. They brought together, you know, the angry black people, and not all blacks are like this, of course, but the angry black who for the last 50 years have been living off the government and hating white people. They brought together young single women who are just godly in nature. They want free condom, free sex, and free everything. No guideline to lines to life at all. They brought together the, as you said, the abortion people who support abortion at any point, and the homosexuals who support same-sex marriage, the illegal aliens who want free amnesty and all that stuff. They were able to organize all these young people. And when I saw that, I was stunned. I was shocked. I knew that we were losing the young, but I did not know we had lost them in such a degree.
Well, just a couple of things to think about. You know, on election day, not only that, but you've got what is it? I think it was three or four states that legalized marijuana.
Yes,
some for recreational use. You know, I think a couple of states had already had it for medicinal purposes, but this was the first time, I believe, that some states had passed it for recreational use. I mean, what does that say about the point of morality or lack of in our nation? So,
and all the godless people went for Barack Obama. It was interesting to see that. And the folks who believe in God, or at least say they do, went for Mitt Romney. And so you just saw this split right down the middle. What I want to know from you, what happened to the church or churches that this failing came about? How did this come about?
Well, I wish I had a great answer to that. I think that, at least from my perspective, it starts as, you know, as we talk about in education. I mean, I think it starts at the home. And I think that the biggest mistake that the church has made across my lifetime, when I was a child, a teenager coming up, the church believed that, you know, I guess, at least without stating it, they programmed themselves to try to disciple, teach the family, teach the child, teach the young person. And actually, I think we made a mistake in that. As noble and as good as that sounds, what we did not do is equip mom and dad to teach little Johnny and little Mary at home. We told that parent in an unsaid kind of way, bring them to church on Sunday, maybe to youth group on, you know, whatever night that was for your church, and we will take care of your children. And most families took their foot off the gas in teaching their children at home. And quite frankly, 1 hour a week or 2 hours a week or whatever that family makes it to their church engagements is clearly not enough to train that child. And I think that's where our greatest mistake. So,
let me take
in our church, we're trying to change.
Let me
that.
Take a quick break. We'll pick up on this. You're absolutely right in what you're saying. 888-775-3773. Back in a moment.
Are you in need of a powerful speaker for an upcoming event or meeting? Reverend Jesse Lee Peterson stands apart from the rest. His wisdom and aura truly capture the audience's attention and their hearts. Covering a wide variety of topics, ranging from political to spiritual issues, Jesse Peterson is able to speak at any type of event. Call his speaking event coordinator, Sherry Johnson, at 1-800-411-BOND. That's 1-800-411-2663.
Americans are becoming frustrated with the personal and political battles they face daily. Rage is growing quickly. Recognizing this issue before it escalates is key, and Reverend Jesse Lee Peterson has already taken action by writing From Rage to Responsibility. This amazing book contains the information you need to begin taking responsibility for your feelings and your life. Be a part of the solution and not the problem. To order From Rage to Responsibility, call 1-800-411-2663 or go to bondinfo.com.
Pastor Horn is with me. It is Preachers in the Pulpit. We're going to tell you how to get to information on his church here in a minute. Taking your phone calls at 888-775-3773. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Pastor Horn, I just want to ask this about the church, and I want to ask you a few things about the family. 50 years ago or so, the government came in into the black home and said to the black family, we're going to take care of you. You know, racism is holding you back. That old bad white man don't want you to make it. So under Lyndon B. Johnson, they said, well, we're going to take care of you. You're not able to do it for yourself, but you can't have a father in the home. You can't have a man in the home in order to do that. And most black families said yes to that, and the government became the daddy. The corrupt black so-called leadership, including the black preachers, became the head of the people. And it's just been downhill ever since because they broke that family. Now I'm seeing the same thing happen in the churches, where secularism is now overtaking the churches, in that a lot of preacher men are backing down and allow their wives and their mama and anybody, any female that want to call themselves a preacher, be a preacher. So the women are taking over the churches. And as the women are taking over the churches are becoming weak as well. Am I right in what I see in that?
Well, I think you're right. But, you know, let's think about why that happened and how that happened. I mean, it happened because the men did not do what they should have done. And I'm not so sure it's letting the women take more authority or more role. But, you know, to the woman's credit, they stepped up and stepped in where the men were not. And many churches would have completely fallen apart had it not been for the women.
But why not let it fall apart rather than creating another bad situation? Because the women are not going to be able to hold the churches together. At least if you let it fall apart, it reveals the weakness of the man and we can start rebuilding him. But allowing the women to come in and slowly destroy it, seemed to me not to be the way to solve the problem.
But at the time, I don't think that was, you know, you couldn't look into the future when that began to happen to see what the result was going to be. I think most women and most churches and perhaps even most male preachers kind of holding it together with the leadership of women at the time thought that they were doing the very best that they could with what they had at that given point in time.
Because, yeah, and one thing I noticed about that, Pastor, when women take over, women seem to, you know, they tend to be very, and not all, but most, they tend to be very emotional. They identify with human emotions, and as a result, you now have homosexuality being accepted in the churches, abortion is being accepted. You're not you don't rebuke the sinner. You just go along with the stuff. So it's just really making things worse. When you say that we didn't see what men were doing wrong, what was it that they were doing that we did not see?
I'm not sure I understand that question.
What did men do wrong that allowed women to take over the churches?
Oh, I just think they were absent. I mean, I just think that they were content to, in many cases, not even be there.
But how does
Women go to church? And the women go to church.
How does a preacher man who is a preacher and married allow his wife to become a preacher and take over his church? How does that happen?
Yeah, you're gonna have to ask somebody else about that one because that's not my. That's certainly not my conviction either. But
are you surprised?
I know what you're saying. There's a lot of people that I see quite frequently with churches. You know, the listing of co-pastors.
You know,
and it's the husband and wife team. And I think it's because they've bought into the lie that women will reach women and men will reach
yes.
men, and therefore.
you know, if they let their wife preach from time to time, then they'll reach the women. I'm thinking that that's probably what most men are thinking at that point.
One last point about that. When I look at it, two things I see happening is that these preacher men are afraid of their wives. And secondly, women tend to draw in more women to the church. And when these ladies shows up at the service, they bring money. And so I think they have sold out because they're cowards, and they sold salvation out for the dollar bill.
For just what's practical for them, I can't disagree with you in that regard, and that's sad.
And so, are we ever going to be able to change this, or is this over for America?
Well, you know, I believe that Christians ought to be optimistic about the future. I mean, there's certainly a lot to be pessimistic about, but if Christians are not going to be optimistic, then who is going to be optimistic? And, let's not forget that we are part of the church of the living God, the New Testament describes, that we can be the pillar of truth. And I just want to be optimistic about the future,
yeah.
Even as pessimistic as things seem. I think to not be optimistic actually would be a lack of faith in God and being part of the church of the living God.
Yeah, I agree with that. Let me ask, a lot of these young people who supported Barack Obama, for example, in this last election, were from Christian homes. You know, a lot of kids they're raised in a Christian family. At least the folks go to church and claim Jesus. But when they send them off to school, their minds are being corrupt, and the public education seems to be taking them away from the families. They turn them away from what is right. They turn them away from their families. Why don't parents, when they see this happening to their children, why don't they stop it either by pulling their kids out of those public school system or getting involved with the schools to make sure they don't do it? Why do they just let this happen to their children?
You know, and I suspect that that is the greatest challenge that we have in America is the school system. And, you know, I go one step beyond that in the university system.
Yes.
The private university system is probably the bastion of liberalism in America today.
Yeah.
The state university system, likewise. And unfortunately, many of our Christian colleges and universities, and certainly this is not there are some exceptions to this, but by and large, these universities and colleges and Bible colleges are academically weak.
Yes, sir.
And so as a result of that, parents, take the lesser of two evils and try to send their child to get a good quality education. And I really, the frustration for me is
Pastor,
that
hold that
not...
thought. I'm sorry. Let me take a quick break. I'll let you finish that point. We have truckloads of calls for you. Back in a moment.
Stock trading involves substantial risk.
You know, I have been wanting to call for so long, and I have realized that, Jesse, you're out there, and you speak the truth. When you speak about truth and principle, it is very simple. When you are speaking on principle, it is right on. I can tell you that it is a pleasure to be a proud listener and sponsor to your program, your show. I will continue listening and supporting and starting to speak up a lot more because I am encouraged by you, Jesse.
We are rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. We don't get money from the government, never have in the 22 years of being in operation. We have a home for young men, helping find jobs, start businesses, get married, and we need your support. And we do appreciate those who are helping us. Thank you in advance. Go to bondinfo.org, bondinfo.org, or call 1-800-411-2663, 1-800-411-BOND.org. Okay, folks, welcome back. In the third hour, the next hour, we're going to have a panel discussion on Obamacare. We have a couple of experts coming on, too. One is in support of Obamacare, and the other is against it. Very, very, very interesting discussion coming up in the next hour. Believe you me, you do not want to miss it. And that's coming up in the third hour today. I am Jesse Lee Peterson, taking your phone calls at 888-777-5773. Preachers in the Pulpit, Pastor Steve Horn is with me, pastor of First Baptist Lafayette Church in Lafayette, Louisiana. He has a B.A. in history from Rhodes College in Memphis, Tennessee, as well as a Master of Divinity in Biblical Studies and a Ph.D. in Greek New Testament from the New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary. And we're talking about these issues, and we got to get to your calls here in a minute. Pastor Horn, two questions. Do you have a website or something you'd like to give out? I want to talk to you about some of your blog posts as well. How can people read your, get to your site?
Well, thank you for that opportunity. My blog site is just at Steve Horn, S-T-E-V-E, Horn, H-O-R-N, just all one word, stevehorn.org. And, you know, I don't write as much as I probably want to, but, you know, I'm going to do better in writing some thoughts. I love to write, and that's the place where I do that. Then our church's website is FBC, as in First Baptist Church, L-A-F, first three letters of Lafayette.org. And on that site, you can view some of our Sunday morning services and other teaching opportunities.
One quick question, then we're going to the calls for you. You have a BA, you have a master's degree, and you have a PhD. How were you able to gain all that knowledge, go through that type of educational system, and maintain sanity?
That's a great question. You know, I was very fortunate in those years of my life. My parents, I'm the first college graduate in my family. My parents were hardworking, blue-collar people, valued education, taught me at an early age to value education, and things just worked out for me time-wise. I married after college when I started seminary. My wife was working, teaching school. We had no children at the time. And basically, I was 24 years old, having finished my master's degree, and opportunities were limited to to advance my ministry size, church, or whatever at that particular point in life. And so it presented a great opportunity for me to continue on right away, not taking any kind of break at all, to continue on my PhD. And, you know, I'm blessed, and I recognize that every day. And I actually was finished with my PhD at 28 years old, which is pretty unusual. And it has nothing to do with my intellect. It has everything to do with God's timing in my life, and I recognize that every single day. And
were
thankful
you,
for it.
Were you called by God, or did you have to go to school to be a preacher?
You know, I absolutely believe that I was called by God, no question about it. And, you know, I struggle even today thinking about what would I do. I joke with my wife all the time that I couldn't do anything else.
Yeah.
And I do believe that it was a calling. And truly, the great call, the greatest evidence for me in that calling is that, you know, I was the most unlikely person in my high school to give a speech. I mean, very shy. Never talked much, and God just really released me from all that once I began to preach publicly.
Great. You know, speaking of youth, Hitler said, "He alone who owns the youth gains the future." And when I saw Obama owning the youth, I felt sadness because I knew that the future of America was in trouble.
That is a scary. That is a scary thing. But you know, here's what I think. I think that youth, they want what is authentic, and unfortunately, what they've heard in the home and what they've seen in the home has not matched up.
Amen.
And as a result of that, they've left the teaching of the home because it hasn't appeared to be authentic to them.
That's right.
That's what we've got to change.
That's deep. Let's go to Russia. We have a call. from Russia. Don, hold on for me, Don. The pastor and I will get to you right after this break. We got to get to all callers. I appreciate your patience. Back in a moment.
RN, USA Sports.
You have a closet full of clothes, but always feel like you have nothing to wear? You need help updating your wardrobe? You want to look stylish, but simply don't have the time to do it yourself? If you've answered yes, then let Lena's Blend professional stylist handle it all for you. Lena's Blend personal stylist makes looking amazing, simple, and easy. We offer wardrobe consultations, closet organization, and personal shopping for events and photos. We style men and women, ranging from busy moms to business executives and entertainment professionals. Lena's Blend has style and will travel. Services available in Los Angeles and across the 50 states. Celebrities aren't the only ones that use a personal stylist to help them look their best. Contact Lena's Blend now at 310-486-9173. That's 310-486-9173. Or visit lenasblend.com. That's lenasblend.com to set up a free consultation today.
Okay, folks, in the second, in the third hour today, next hour, we're having an Obamacare panel discussion with a couple of experts. You don't want to miss out on that. I know that the Republicans are pretending that they're fighting over this now, and in order to solve this fiscal cliff problem that's supposed to happen in January, they're trying to say that Obamacare must be on the table. I see the Republicans' lips moving now, and it means nothing. It just has no influence at all. I'm just saying. I hope you had a chance to read my article on worldnetdaily.com over the weekend on Mitt Romney was right when he said that Obama won the election with handouts. He gave away free stuff. He was Santa Claus to the people. Very, very interesting article. If you have not read it, go to worldnetdaily.com, or you can, I believe there's a link on my site at bondaction.org, bondaction.org. Be sure to check it out, all right? Pastor Horn, let's go to some calls here. We have a caller from Russia, Don. Don, good morning, sir. Welcome to the show. You're on with Pastor Horn.
Well, I'm glad to the opportunity to be on it. Try to home in what I have on my mind that might be relevant. I enjoyed hearing your discussion.
Thank you.
But two things come to mind in a hurry. Like in Europe, the churches are virtually empty, and it's really women's liberation. Women use the established churches to have a power tool against their husbands, and they don't need them anymore. They just call the police and have them thrown out.
Interesting.
Or whatever, or don't even have one.
What do you say about that, Pastor Horn?
What do you say about that? I think the caller is right, and, hopefully, again, it'd be easy to be pessimistic about the church in America and to think about all the empty churches in Europe and know that that's where and believe that's where we're headed. But, for the time being, I'm going to choose to remain optimistic and believe that God and his power is going to turn this thing around in America.
Don, did you have another question or comment?
Yeah, well, I come from a background of home church with the ministers that went two by two, and they're having a hard time, and it's hard to find good ministers today. But if you think about it, the farm family, the children need love. Now, let me back up a step further. My uncle was a mink rancher. Anybody that's involved in animal husbandry will tell you number one, you have to choose the mothers well. They need to be able to care for their babies. And women aren't doing that today, and the children aren't able to grow in love. I think that's the predestination Paul talked about, that some are predestined because their parents cared enough to make sure they were with them and gave them the mammalian nursing bond. That's my thought. It's the family, and the children aren't being raised to be able to have God in their soul. They can't care about, they're lucky if they can care about their toys, you know.
Horn, Don make a very interesting point here. For the last 22 years, I've been running a nonprofit organization called Bond, and we have been rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I believe in that spiritual order of God and Christ, Christ and man over woman, woman over children. That order has been broken, and I saw it happen in the black family first, and the destruction that came after that has been amazing to me. It is now happening in the white families and other families. Is it possible, Pastor Horn, to turn things around without turning that family around?
No, I don't think it's possible to turn things around without going to, the root of the problem.
Yeah.
Most people believe that, whether you're talking about the church or whether you're talking about education, talk about education. In Louisiana, there's a lot of discussion right now about education reform, and a very conservative governor that's, doing all that he can do. But, government cannot change the educational system with
right.
any amount of programs. They are fighting an uphill battle because of the family. And we have the greatest school teachers in the world, greatest schools, but if it's not being reinforced at home, there is little reason to think that things are going to change.
That's right. Thank you, Don. I appreciate your call. Pastor, you wrote a blog. There are several blogs you've written. One is Preparation to Face the Giants. What do you mean by that?
Well, it was a takeoff of the story of David. And, one of the things that I begin to see in that story of David and Goliath is that David had no idea that he was going to face Goliath, the giant, that morning. He was going to bring Goliath to his brothers, but he was able to defeat Goliath that day because he had been prepared to. I think there's a spiritual lesson for us. People always want to know what is God's will for my life. What is God's will for my life? And a lot of times, God's will for your life today, at least, is to be being prepared for whatever it is that God is ultimately going to do in your life.
Yeah.
And we want to fast track everything. Kids want fast track. When I have opportunity to talk to students, I talk to them about authority, submission to authority, because that's what God is doing in their life right now to prepare them for the workforce. If they can't be submissive to mom and dad at home, if they can't be submissive to the coach on their team, if they can't be submissive to the school, how are they going to ever learn to be submissive to their employer?
But most parents in the homes are no good, and the kids are not respecting them because of that. And if you don't respect your parents, if you don't have a right kind of fear for your parents, you're not going to submit to any other authority as well.
And what is worse, because I have a little bit of an experience in a Christian school, but last few churches.
Hold that. I'll let you make that final point, and then right after this break, Pastor, sound very interesting. Back in a moment. Let's go to Joyce out of Houston, Texas.
It's just amazing to hear a common sense black man. And I hear so much insanity from my people.
Yeah.
And it is unfortunate, Jesse.
Because they're trying to keep black people on the same plantation.
And they are doing a good job.
Yeah, they want to give the impression that we all agree, we're all corrupt, we're all just alike, and we support corrupt people like Jackson and Sharpton and others.
Let's go to Dalla out of Richmond, Virginia.
Good morning, Jesse. I just finished reading From Rage to Responsibility, and it is a fabulous book. It's a signed copy. The lessons in the book haven't changed a bit. It's a fabulous read. It's changed my life. I love it.
Wow, I'm glad to hear that. Thank you. Let me just tell the folks, my first book, From Rage to Responsibility, I highly recommend that book as well. Go to bondinfo.org or call 800-411-BOND and get a copy of it.
Because when a heart breaks, no, it don't break. No, it don't break, no, it don't break even. No. What am I going to do when the best part of me goes away? What am I supposed to say when I'm all choked up that you're okay?
My final segment with Pastor Steve Horn. In the next hour, we're having a panel discussion on Obamacare. You do not, believe you me, you do not want to miss it. Pastor Horn, you were going to make a point about authority in that the young people are not respecting authority because they don't have that in their homes. And you said that you work with kids at school, I believe.
Yeah, we have a Christian school. In the previous church I was at a Christian school, and what is really disheartening is that the parents don't help us teach authority in the school. When the teachers try to discipline, even in a Christian school at times, we find the parents taking the kids' side instead of taking the school side, the teacher's side. And, yeah. You know, Jesse, that would have never happened in my home. If I did something wrong at school, my parents would have never taken my side.
Yeah,
that's what's changed in our society.
And so we have a minute left here. What do you recommend to turn this around? What will it take?
You know, I got to go back to the scriptures. And the key to turning things around is, you know, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves and seek God's face and pray, Bible is clear on that promise, then he'll hear from heaven and heal our land. And, you know, we talk a lot about that. We talk a lot about praying for our nation. But, you know, when it comes down to it, the church is probably more known for panic than they are for prayer.
That's true.
And I think that's the key to turning this nation around.
And give us your website again.
SteveHorn.org is my blog. And then the church website is going to be fbclaf.org.
Pastor
Love
Horn,
for you to stop by.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for being on with us, and it's good to meet you.
Thank you, sir. Enjoyed it.
Thank you. Okay, folks, we're going to take a top-of-the-hour news break. A panel discussion on Obamacare is coming up in the next hour. I have to tell you, this is, I want to say the worst thing that could have possibly happened to America is Obamacare, but I don't know if it's the worst. I believe the worst is the destruction of the family. And because of that, we ended up with Obama, the fallen Messiah. And because of that, we ended up with Obamacare. Jamie Foxx called Barack Obama. I don't know if you heard about this. I mentioned it in the first hour. Jamie Foxx, the actor, the black guy, our Lord and Savior. That's what he called the fallen Messiah. And so I call Barack Obama Satan's son from hell. We're going to talk about that in the next hour. Top of the hour news break. One more hour to go. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Back in a moment.
Right.
Oh, my God. Just stop. You're embarrassing yourself.
Don't even get me started.
Hey, you know what? I won't, because I am done with this and I am done with you.
I hate your guts.
I hate your guts.
Are you having problems in your relationships? Do you lash out at your loved ones and later regret your hurtful words or actions? Do you struggle with anger, depression, a sex or drug addiction? If the answer is yes, we can help. Bond provides expert counseling to help you overcome all your family, personal, and professional issues. Our counselors are standing by to help. Call now to get the help you need. 1-800-411-2663. That's 1-800-411-BOND.
Somebody once in a while you shouldn't have messed with. That's me. Well,
I walk back down. I am not an African American.
You're Oreo cookie. White in the inside and black on the outside.
I don't have an Afro. I have an Amerifro.
Talking that idiotic stuff you talk about, I will slap you.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Black at the Ace of Spades, but 100% American.
Heard around the world by everybody and their mama. The Jesse Lee Peterson Radio Show.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. Am I on? We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Thank you so much for being with me. Welcome back from your long holiday, Thanksgiving holiday. Again, I hope you had a good one. You had a good family visit. No, you didn't get stuck in the airports, and you're now back and ready for work. I had a good one. Thank you for asking. We're taking your phone calls at 888-775-3773, 888-77-JESSE. I don't know what's going on, Andre. Do we have the guests for the discussion? I don't see them up here on the board.
You only will see one. Hughes is ready.
What line is she on?
I'm going to put him on.
Oh, okay. So I will only see one. Yes. Okay. Can Kelly type in the names here for me so I know where, who is where? Can that happen for me? Okay, folks. We are having a panel discussion about Obamacare. A lot of folks thought that during this election, last election campaign, that we would be able to get rid of Barack Obama, and in return, Obamacare would be overturned. That hope is out the window now. Folks don't know what to expect. A lot of employees are cutting back on hours on or at least threatened to cut back on hours of some of their full-time employees because they simply cannot afford Obamacare. There's great, great concern about this. And we're going to have a discussion about that. We're also going to take your calls on it as well. Andrea, I don't know who is where, so I can't do anything at this point. Well, where is she? I can't see where. I'm sorry?
You're not going to see it on your screen.
I'm not going to see it on my screen. And so I'm supposed to do what?
Wait.
I'm supposed to wait. Kelly, where is everybody? I can't see anyone on the screen. I don't know who is who. Okay, let's go with Dr. Riley. We have Dr. Wayne Riley with me. He is the 10th president and chief executive officer of Meharry Medical College, located in Memphis, Tennessee, one of the major educators of minority physicians in the U.S. that focuses on training medical students to care for the underserved population. Dr. Riley has nearly two decades of experience in primary care and public health, healthcare management, and academic. Also, I have with me Dr. Jane Lindell Hughes, a board-certified ophthalmologist in private practice and is a clinical professor in the Department of Ophthalmology at the University of Texas Science Center in San Antonio, Texas.
And Dr. Hughes has been with me in the past, and I'm happy to have both of them here today. Dr. Riley, good morning, sir. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Reverend Peterson. How are you, sir?
All is well. Thank you for being with me. And Kelly, when you put Dr. Hughes on the screen, let me know. I don't know where she is. On which line?
Not on any line, but she's on.
She's on the air, but not on the line. That's dumb. Dr. Hughes, good morning. Sorry about the confusion I'm having here.
Well, good morning, Jesse. I was trying to shout out which line I was on, but I don't have the screen either.
This is something new for me, so I'm learning here. Did you both have a good Thanksgiving?
Yes, sure did.
All right. How about you, Dr. Hughes?
I had a fabulous Thanksgiving. Thank you for asking, and I hear you had one as well.
It was more than a notion. I want to talk to you about Obamacare. As I said in the introduction, a lot of folks are very concerned about this, and they thought that if we can get rid of Obama, then somehow or another we can overturn Obamacare. But unfortunately, that didn't happen in that we did not get rid of him, so it looked like Obamacare is going to stay. Dr. Riley, you wrote an article recently for the Huffington Post, and it is called "The President's Re-election Will Lead to a Healthier America." You believe that Obamacare is a good thing, and why do you believe that?
Absolutely, Rev. You know, we look at it quite differently than a lot of the political pundits in terms of health care. Our institution has been among the leaders in addressing health care disparities, particularly in the African-American communities all across this country. And one of the first ways that we can deal with health care disparities is to get access for African-Americans and Latinos and others to health insurance. So that's why we have embraced the Obamacare, or the Patient Protection Affordable Care Act, its official legislative name, as you know. Because we think it does make a significant start, not the total answer, but a start to dealing with health care disparities. You know, the market approach, the pure market approach to health care disparities just has not delivered in the way that we all would have hoped. And so by the Obamacare scheme, there now is some reasonable hope that we can start to address health care disparities.
Dr. Hughes, how do you respond to that?
Well, I think we should acknowledge right off the bat that we all believe that the American healthcare system does need reform. However, Obamacare is not reform. It is a fundamental transformation of our American healthcare system into one that mimics the British system of socialized medicine. Now, I think it's important to go back and realize that when Obamacare was passed, 85% of Americans had health insurance, and they were happy with their insurance. And when you take a look at the 30 million uninsured individuals that was often used as a quote, when we broke down the demographics of those individuals, it really turned out that there were about 12 million people who were the working poor who fell between the cracks. These individuals actually could have been assimilated into our healthcare system without taking over the entire healthcare system. So the actual premise upon which the Obamacare law was brought into being, if you will, I think was questionable right off the bat.
Dr. Riley?
Well, I couldn't disagree with my learned physician colleague more. The 12 million that the doctor refers to, many are black and brown. And black and brown folks disproportionately are visited by diseases and a lack of access to health care services, in spite of the fact that we have the best medical care and the best health care facilities in the country. So from a narrow perspective by which we look at it and which I look at it, health insurance is the first thing that we can do to get medical care into black and brown communities all over this country. So I disagree with that approach. I understand it. But the market has not delivered in terms of dealing with health care disparities to date.
There is an aspect about Obamacare that is not discussed for some reason, and that is people who don't want to go out and buy private insurance will have to pay a fine. And to me, that seemed unconstitutional that the government can force us to buy something, health care, when we don't want it, insurance, when we don't want it. Does that seem right to you, Dr. Riley?
Well, the Supreme Court has spoken, so I don't think it really matters what my opinion is. The law of the land is that the individual mandate is constitutional by the Supreme Court. Now, one can quibble as to whether one should be compelled to get certain things in our society. In many states, we're compelled to get automobile insurance.
But if you didn't own an automobile, you wouldn't have to get the insurance. But in this case,
well, that is true. But we all own bodies, Rev, and all our bodies are subject to disease and to wearing down over time. And sometimes that wearing down and disease can be quite expensive, and it places a burden on those of us who pay for health insurance, when others who don't have health insurance end up in emergency rooms and in other settings that are far more cost ineffective to address. So again, you know, Obamacare is a stab at trying to equalize the playing field. I don't think the president himself would say it's a perfect bill. I think it's about 80% of where we need to be, and there's other 20% that we need to focus on, such as cost control.
Let me take making a quick sure break. That, let me take a break. We'll pick up on this. Dr. Hughes, I'll allow you to respond to that when we come back. Back in a moment.
MyHair.com.
If you're looking for the perfect shot the first time, call D.L. Massey Photography. Passion coupled with an attitude toward perfection will ensure that your special event lasts forever. D.L. Massey Photography's clients are always satisfied and bring their most trusted projects time and again. Go to www.dlmasseyphotography.com or call 310-498-7416 to find out how D.L. Massey Photography can make your next event a memorable one.
Americans are becoming frustrated with the personal and political battles they face daily. Rage is growing quickly. Recognizing this issue before it escalates is key, and Reverend Jesse Lee Peterson has already taken action by writing From Rage to Responsibility. This amazing book contains the information you need to begin taking responsibility for your feelings and your life. Be a part of the solution and not the problem. To order From Rage to Responsibility, call 1-800-411-2663 or go to Bond.
This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
This is from the Daily Express, UK Daily Express. In a bid to save nearly £3 billion by slashing appointments with a doctor and treating patients by way of computer will put lives at risk. Ministers were warned. Health Secretary Jeremy Hunt is planning a technological revolution that could spell the end of the traditional doctor surgery. So what they're going to do now in the UK is treat patients by, is it called Skype, Andre? By Skype. So you can call your doctor up on the computer and say, I'm bleeding in my belly. What, can you take a look at it?
Jesse, could I make a comment regarding the focus that Dr. Riley mentioned with Obamacare?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead, please.
We cannot afford, in my opinion, to have such a narrow focus that we miss the fact that we already have a safety net, and that safety net is Medicaid. And Medicaid is set up to take the individuals who fall through the cracks in our health care system and provide them with health care. And you did mention, Dr. Riley, the emergency rooms. The emergency rooms do work. We do not have people on the street who are not receiving medical care. And I agree they are costly, but they are 7% of our overall health care expenditures. And actually, 85% of people who go to the emergency room do have insurance. So we have a safety net already in place. this is a fundamental transformation between the doctor and the patient and their relationship. And it's also a fundamental transformation of the individual to the state. And it's a shifting of our American medical health care system to one of central planners and centralized decision-making. And, Jesse, you bring up a great point about the Great Britain system.
Yeah.
I have an actual first-hand knowledge of an example of how this rationing takes place. My son is an orthopedic spine surgeon in New York City, and he got a frantic call from a fellow whose father had been on a cruise with his mother, and he was elderly, and they rolled into Vancouver, hit a rogue wave, and he broke his neck. And the reason for the call was because the son said that the physician came in and said, well, you're elderly. He was otherwise healthy, by the way. He wasn't even on medication. You have a fractured neck, you cannot move, you cannot get out of bed, but we're not going to let you suffer. And they started end-of-life care,
wow.
Comfort care. So at any rate, the end of the story is he was airlifted out of Vancouver to New York. His neck fracture was fixed, and 6 weeks later he was back to ballroom dancing, consulting with the business he'd started, and walking his 5 miles a day in Central Park. So there are real consequences to this legislation, and we have got to be fully aware of those consequences for every single American while still being cognizant of the need for a safety net for those amongst us who are unable to take care of themselves.
You know, it's amazing, that story what you just told, share it with us, but the reality is that Obamacare is there now. What do we do? We can't. It's not going to be overturned, it seems. As Dr. Riley said, the U.S. Supreme Court has approved it. So what do we do?
Well, the ultimate implementation of Obamacare relies on the states. And right now there are 30 Republican governors who've written to Kathleen Sebelius in July, and they've asked for the outlines on what the mandates were going to be vis-a-vis the new regulations and the administrative burdens, not to mention the financial burdens, and they still have not received an answer. And the states are crucial for two parts of Obamacare's implementation. One is the establishment of the insurance exchanges, and the other is the massive expansion of Medicaid. And many states are already struggling with the financial burden of Medicaid, which is only partially funded through the federal government. And it's estimated, for example, in Texas, with full implementation of Obamacare and the expansion of Medicaid, that 100% of the Texas budget would be Medicaid. Obviously, this is not tenable. So these governors, there are 20 governors now who've declined to set up the state exchanges because they don't know what the implication for their citizenry is.
Dr. Riley, how do you respond to all this?
Well, I couldn't agree with Dr. Hughes more that the patient that her son took care of in a very fine hospital in New York is emblematic of the best of American healthcare. But the fact of the matter is, even in my former state of Texas, where Dr. Hughes lives, there are many black and brown citizens who don't get that level of care. And again, this is not a perfect bill, but I think it does begin to address in a very systematic way, in a free market way, by the way, because all of these new insurance customers will come not through the federal government per se, but through private insurers such as United Healthcare and Cigna and WellPoint and all the big names that we are aware of. They will have access to insurance markets through the insurance exchanges, and then they and their families can make decisions based on their circumstances of what level of care they will need for their family. Medicaid is a safety net. I agree fully. It is a fantastic safety net, but it doesn't reach as many people as we desire under the current scheme. And again, this is the beauty of the Obamacare scheme, is that the federal government will take up to about 90% of the excess cost of the expansion of folks onto the Medicaid rolls. Again, the 10% gap that Dr. Hughes highlighted does need to be addressed, and I think it can be addressed by the President and the Congress and people of goodwill and in a bipartisan spirit to figure out how to close that little bit of a gap towards the back end of the decade. But most governors will agree that this is a decent deal to expand Medicaid and to get 90% of it paid for through the federal government.
Well, I would have to disagree with that because most governors are very skeptical about the long-term support of the federal government. And if you take a look at a lot of the programs that the government will start paying for, and after years go by, especially I think this 90% matching was for the first 3 years of the program, gradually the responsibility is shifted to the states. But let's take a look at Medicaid and Medicare, which are the two government health insurance programs that the government is currently managing. Medicare is due to go bankrupt within 8 years, and Medicaid pays a lot of times lower than the actual cost of delivering the care. So it's becoming increasingly difficult for individuals who are already on Medicaid to find physicians who are willing or can take care of them and still keep their doors open.
Dr. Riley, let me just ask this quick question. You keep mentioning black and brown people, and I hear that a lot, and I think it's to draw a false sense of sympathy for these people. Myself and other normal people are sick and tired of taking care of the black and the brown. When I come back, I would like to know, how long do we have to take care of the black and brown? It's killing us to do that. I get a response when I come back. 888-775-3773. If you could just doubt every thought, then you can have faith. Faith is a light unto your feet. You live by faith. Faith is not a belief. It's a guiding light. It's a way of life. It's the way you live. You live by faith, never doubting. Either you have it or you don't have faith. Belief is worldly. It's the intellect. Faith is the Spirit of God guiding you.
Reverend Jesse Lee Peterson's Sunday Service webcasts offer a simple, refreshing, life-changing message that enables you to understand your Christian faith and unlock the secrets that can help you deal with life in a stress-free manner. You can watch these Sunday talks live from the comfort of your home by going to bondinfo.org every Sunday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. You can also email or call in with your questions and comments.
Org. My final segment with Dr. Riley and Dr. Hughes about Obamacare. This is from Politico. The Supreme Court on Monday ordered the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals to examine the constitutionality of the health reform laws, employer requirement, and mandatory coverage of contraceptives without a copay. The move could open the door for President Barack Obama's health law to be back in front of the Supreme Court late next year. So that sounds pretty good. Dr. Riley, respond to my question, and then I'd like to give you guys a chance to give out your website. I am personally, and other hardworking normal Americans are tired and fed up of taking care of the black and the brown. It's like having a family member in your home that will not move out, and you feel like you got to take care of them and the rest of your life. I'm sick and tired of it. What do you say to that, Dr. Riley?
Well, Rev, I defer to you in terms of the moral and theological angles in terms of taking care of the least of these amongst us, but as a physician,
but not for life.
I know that many inner-city Latinos and African-Americans, no matter how hardworking they are, sometimes don't have access to the great health care services that Dr. Hughes mentioned that her son provides at a great hospital.
But they do have
and
access.
And that's where I think our point of departure is. This bill is a good bill. It's not perfect, but it over time, it will have, in my view, the impact on improving the health of all of us, not just black and brown, but all of us.
But the quality of health care is going to go down in a socialized, whenever you have socialized medicine, it devalues. And the people with money are going to be able to afford to buy better health care than those without the money. So it's not going to improve in that way at all. Am I wrong about that, Dr. Hughes?
No, you aren't wrong. Our point of departure is that, in essence, you're saying that this law, which is 2,700 pages, which creates 156 new bureaucratic agencies, which hires 16,000 more IRS agents, so that they can monitor individuals, their purchase of health insurance, what their income is the solution and is going to solve our health inequities and the cost problem in the United States of America. My point of departure is this is not going to solve our health care problems. There were good solutions. They were not articulated well, but they were there. They continue to be there. And this law threatens the sanctity of the doctor-patient relationship, and it transforms how we view the individual case by case by case. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think it's going to accomplish for the blacks and the browns and the Caucasians and whatever ethnic group you want to break people down into who are underserved, to use your term. I don't think this law is going to accomplish that. We all want to take care of those amongst us who cannot take care of themselves.
But not for life, though. I'm sick of it. I don't want to take care of my children once they become adults. So I definitely don't want to take care of some other black and brown folks. Dr. Hugh,
my respected colleague, we differ. This is a good bill. We're going to have a healthier America because of the President of the United States and what he has done. And over time,
Dr.
this
Riley,
bill will be embraced, just like Medicare is now warmly embraced. Remember, Medicare was a very
controversial program when President Johnson
signed the bill. And I think time will prove its durability.
We're running out of time. Dr. Riley, you're supporting Obamacare when it is forcing insurance companies to cover people. And in return, this would put businesses out of business. And I don't know why you would support such an evil law.
Just read the law, Rev. It's a good bill. And I think, again, my view and the view of the people that we serve in this great institution called Mary Medical College, it will lead to a healthier America.
What's your website, Dr. Hughes?
Well, what I'm going to say, Dr. Riley, is this. We can listen to rhetoric, and you can say that it's a good bill, but it is costing jobs. It is places a tax on innovative medical equipment, and actually Zimmer, which is a big medical equipment company, and Stryker, between the two of them, have laid off over 2,000 people in response to this. There are 20 million people who are going to lose their employer-based health insurance from this bill, and there are millions more who are going to be placed on part-time status so that employers are able to avoid the escalating cost of the new insurance mandates through Obamacare.
Dr. Hughes, your website real fast. Dr. Hughes?
Yes?
You have a website you'd like to give out?
Yes. Go to ads4truth.org.
And Dr. Riley, your website?
Yes, www.mmc.edu, Mary Medical College.
Thank you guys for being on with me.
Thank you very much.
Good discussion.
Thank you, Jesse.
All right. I'll take some calls when I come back. I've come to understand anger over the last 22 years or so because I had to overcome it myself. But from counseling with people, it's just been amazing. The primary problem, a relationship or individual life, whether it's a marriage or a friendship, is anger. When you have anger, you cannot see how to deal with the situation because you're operating out of darkness. And that anger tends to cause you to make all the wrong decisions.
How would you like to find a way to overcome your most personal problems? If you're ready, we can help. Let the professional counseling services of Bond, the Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny, help you conquer your most serious problems right now. Call 1-800-411-2663 to make your appointment today.
As I said to yes, keep talking, even though you can't hear me? Oh, okay. When I hear the words black and brown, I'm sick of taking care of them. It doesn't make me feel good now when they use that. It's like having a family member living in your home, and they're 50 years old. They've been there since they were a kid, and they won't move. And so you're stuck with life. And then they use the scriptures to try to justify it. There's nowhere in the scriptures where Jesus took care of anybody for their entire life. If you don't work, you don't eat. Black and brown need to get up off their rusty dusties and take care of themselves. With all these taxes and things that we are paying now for, all this crap going on, I can barely take care of myself. So I'm sick of it. And I'm sure I'm sure white folks, Kelly. I saw a white woman walk in my studio, and I'm like, Kelly. I'm sure white people are feeling the same way. We're sick and tired of taking care of the black and the brown. 888-775-3773. Let's go to the busy phones. Let's go down to Nashville, Tennessee, and talk to James. James, thanks for calling. Good, man. Do you agree with me? Aren't you tired of taking care of the black and the browns?
Well, the thing is this, Jesse. I look at the whole picture. You got whites on there also. Now, you're talking about the blacks and the browns. What about the whites? Are you tired of taking care of them, too? How do you feel about them, Jesse?
I never hear about the whites. I always hear about the black and the browns. They're always begging.
Yeah, well, you know why you don't never hear about them, don't you?
Why is that?
Because they're racially motivated. You know what I'm saying?
How's
you keep the
racially
blacks
motivated?
And the browns at the top, and you share to the whites.
How is it racially motivated?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, just all of them wrapped up together. But now I do agree with you. You can't take care of someone all their lives, you know what I'm saying? So
right.
I don't, you know, I'm not arguing that point now, but, you know.
I know, James, but how is it racially motivated? I don't see that.
Well, Jesse, you know, you got all different breeds of men, women, and children getting government assistance. So, you know, I do agree with you. You know, some of them, black women, white women, make a life out of having babies.
That's right.
Okay, then. Well, I feel that every man or woman should do the same thing. I can understand helping a woman that she done made a mistake and had a child and she get on welfare, but that's only.
But it ain't no mistake. You got to think about having sex. You got to find somebody to have it with. You got to find a hotel room. It takes time. Sex is not a mistake.
Yeah, well, you know how that go, though, Jess. You know, someone be highly intoxicated or whatever. But the thing is this. You know, I disagree with women staying on welfare for a large portion of their lives. You know, I mean, it's totally wrong. Now, health care, now, Jesse, you know as well as I do, you got able-bodied men and women out here, won't work, won't do anything, and since the Medicare is free, they're going to run and get it.
That's
you know,
right.
Like they have 10 care here in Tennessee, you know. I mean, why can't they work like me, you know?
Because the government is taking care of them, and the people won't do anything about it to stop the government.
Exactly. See, I'm in my middle 50s. You understand what I'm saying? And I get out here and work, Jesse.
Yes.
You know,
I do too.
I'm not trying to get 10 care or anything in that nature, but something has got to give. And basically, it starts in the home. I'm quite sure that this is something that you advocate. It starts in the home with these parents.
Yep,
you know, a lot
right.
of them need to go to school, go on back to school, get them a GED, get them some education, and they do better.
James, you didn't vote for Obama, did you?
Now, well, see, now let me ask this question for you, Jesse. I told you back here a few years back, I said, Jesse, I said, when you get through talking, I said, what are you going to do when he running next time and win? What are you going to be talking about for the next 4 years? You said, well, we're going to make him a one-term president. My statement was this. I said, well, at least he was there one time. Now he there twice. I mean, he's no problem to me. He's no threat to me. I don't care what he do.
Did you vote for him?
Huh?
Did you vote for him?
I heard you did, though, undercover.
No, you didn't hear that at all. That was a lie. If anybody said that.
Jesse, I already know it enough. What's that the other dude, that Michael Steele dude?
Yeah.
You know, he had enough nerve to make a statement, well, I'll never tell who I vote for. You know, it's only for me to know. I mean, come
James,
on.
Did you vote for him?
Did I vote for me?
No, did you vote for Obama?
Answer this question. Did I vote for me?
You're not answering my question for some reason.
I answered it on a somewhat other term. N-O.
Oh, good, man.
You know what I'm saying?
Good for you.
If I vote, it's going to be for me.
There you go.
And now, look here, man. God bless you. Now, we're going to continue this conversation a little later. I ain't trying to anger you or anything of that nature. But, yeah, you know, stop taking care of people should stop taking care of them black folk, them brown folk, and them white folk and make them get them a job.
Thank you, James.
You have a good one, man.
All right, buddy. 888-77-JESSE. Let's go down to Anaheim, California. And talk to Dave. Dave, thanks for calling and thanks for holding. You're on the air, sir.
Hey, good morning, Jesse. How you doing?
All is well.
Hey, Jesse, a couple of points. First, the Apostle Paul in 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says, if a man will not work, he shall not eat.
That's right.
And Christians today, they've become nicer than God. They think, well, we have to be so nice and we have to just give everything and feed people for life when the Bible is totally against that.
I'm running from a family member right now who has a handout. Every time I talk to them, they want money. So now I ignore them.
Yeah. And, Jesse, if you have a guy that eats McDonald's one day and Carl's Jr. the next day and Popeye's the next day and In-N-Out, and now all of society is in the same boat having to take care of that lazy guy's medical bills.
Dave, hold for me. Let me take a quick break. I'll let you respond right after this break.
American values and families are under attack. Homosexual marriage, abortion, race problems, government corruption. Are you tired of the cultural and moral decay? If you want real change and accountability from your political and religious leaders, if you strongly believe in the family, traditional values, and honest race relations, then join Bond Action Incorporated today. Bond Action Inc. was created to educate, motivate, and rally Americans to greater involvement in the cultural and political issues that threaten our country. We need your physical, spiritual, and financial support as we work together to stand up for our families, our communities, and our nation. Contributions to Bond Action Inc. are not tax deductible. To get involved or donate, call 877-WE-ACT-77. That's 877-932-2877. Or go to www.bondaction.org.
Do you believe in love after love? I can feel something inside me say, I really don't think you're strong.
That's right. Welcome back. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Thank you so much for being with me. Let's see here. I want to go back to Dave in Anaheim, California. Hey, Dave.
Yes, sir.
Do you feel the way that I feel? I'm sick and tired of taking care of the black and the brown, and every time I hear it now, it makes me want to throw up.
I am also sick and tired of taking care of the white trash.
Well, I never hear about the white trash. I just hear about the black and the brown begging.
Oh, white trash love Obamacare. White trash do not like freedom. They want the government to be their nanny. And it's an epidemic. Every race, the cancer is spreading, Jesse.
No, it definitely is. And I saw this in the last election. Obama gathered all of the godless, and they supported him with their hands out, and they reelected him. And that's why this thing had to go on for another 4 years.
Absolutely. And 26 years old under Obamacare, 26 your child can be till they get off of your insurance. If you're not a man by 18, 19, 20, I mean, we're raising a bunch of just little girls now, Jesse.
So what's the solution, Dave, at this point? It is what it is.
The solution is for the Christian, which we are outnumbered, according to the Bible. The narrow is the way to heaven. The Christian needs to stand up for what's right. The Christian needs to spread that good news and that gospel to their neighbor of what's right, because in the end, we will win. We're losing right now, but we need to be a light in this very dark darkness.
A lot of folks are Christians in namesake, but not in heart or at heart, and we're losing the battle because of that. So, unless the Christians really become born again of God, I don't see any help coming from there.
I agree, and they have to be bold like yourself, Jesse. They need to stand up and take the heat, because it will be stressful. It will be tough, but we need to be the light in this dark world.
Do you see that happening anytime soon?
With our current level of Christianity, our mainstream Christianity, they're afraid to be bold.
Yeah.
They want to blend in, and they want to be happy sitting at the table of the liberal. And I say, don't be happy about sitting at the table of the liberal. Be proud to be that 1%, so to speak, the 1% that will stand up and be a light.
That's right. Thank you, Dave. You're a smart man, and I appreciate you.
God bless you, Jesse.
You too, buddy. Thank you. Wow. Welcome back. We are back. Thank you so much for tuning in, folks, and calling in. I absolutely appreciate it. Exciting show scheduled for you tomorrow. You don't want to miss it. Telephone, tell a friend, telegraph. Get the information out. Have a good day.
This has been the Jesse Lee Peterson Show, produced by Bond, Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny. Views expressed by guests and callers on today's program may not necessarily represent the views of this station. For more information, call 1-800-411-BOND. That's 1-800-411-BOND. Or visit our website at bondinfo.org.
Mark, good morning, sir. Thanks for calling. Thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Good morning, Jesse.
How are you?
I'm a big fan. I just got your book. Thank you very much. It was eye-opening. I love it very much. I recommend it for everybody. Scam. Everybody get this book. It will wake you up, that's for sure. I don't know anybody that has much courage as you to. It's amazing. I tell you, people, please buy this book.
Mark is talking about my book, Scam, How the Black Leadership Exploits Black America. It is a must read. Everybody and their mama should read that book. Nothing but the truth in there. I expose the so-called civil rights leader, Jesse Jackson, Maxine Waters, Louis Farrakhan, Al Sharpton. If you would like to get an autographed copy of my book, Scam, go to my website and order it at bondinfo.org, bondinfo.org, or call 1-800-411-2663, 1-800-411-BOND.